Now, welcome onto the call, the head coach of the New Hampshire Wildcats, Rick Santos. Good morning, Rick.
How you doing, Rob?
I'm well. Congratulations to your guys, a 24-14 win over Stony Brook, now 4-0 in the league for the first time since 14. What did you like about the way your guys played on Saturday?
I thought they battled. We knew Stony Brook was going to be much better than their record indicated, and that was certainly the case. You know, Chuck had those guys fired up and playing extremely hard. So, you know, Stony Brook got off to a 7-0 lead. They hit us with a trick play, a great design by them, undisciplined eyes, fired defensive back. They got over the top of us. And then we were able to kind of weather the storm a little bit in game, you know, scoring 17 unanswered at that point to pull ahead. But then ultimately, you know, like good teams do, Stony Brook came back. They cut it to 3, you know, with 5 minutes to go in the game. And I thought at that point, you know, could have went one or two ways, you know, that we created a turnover. And then we fumbled right back. They go down to score to cut it to 3. So we truly lost the momentum when we kind of had it in our grasp. And then we found a way to put a game clinching drive together, which was great to see. So, you know, I thought defensively is one of our better efforts of the year. You know, they have a really big, physically imposing offensive line. We held them to 2.7 yards a carry and hit our goal there. So I thought we rallied to the ball, tackled extremely well. I think we put pressure on their quarterback all day. You know, we had 9 TFLs and 5 of them being sacked. So I think we controlled the line of scrimmage, which was great to see. You know, but conversely, on the other side of the ball, we got to do a much better job, you know, running it. And I thought they kind of kept Dylan Lobby in check all night. Max Brosmer was efficient through the air for the most part, and we were able to, you know, have 2 touchdowns, you know, no turnovers for him. So I thought overall it was a great team win, and, you know, finding a way to get it done for homecoming is always extra special.
I'm going to talk about that last drive. As you said, they got it back within 3, but 71 yards, and Adam Deese comes up with that big 32-yard catch, only one of the day, and then the one-handed grab in the end zone by Brian Espinette. Just talk about your guys being able to, when it got close, to be able to get a game sealing drive like that.
Yeah, you know, the guys out wide right now, we're kind of, you know, receiving core by committee. We're doing a good job with personnel groups and fitting in the different pieces to make sure that, you know, we can be as successful as we possibly can. Those guys are being selfless. You know, a guy like Brian Espinette, who is our leading receiver the last couple of years, we've moved him around a lot. You know, and the focal point of him in the game plan a lot of time is at the point of attack blocking. You know, he hasn't had as many receptions as he probably would like, and he thinks he should have. But at the same time, he's done a great job of empowering some of the younger guys, like Joey Corcoran, those type of guys that we've kind of fast-tracked. So really proud of him and that whole group, kind of how they're sticking together. And, Brosmer saw the field really well in that last drive. You know, the tight ends did a really good job all day. Kyle Lepkowski had some explosive plays, and then obviously D snuck out on that big one on the last drive. So, you know, got to continue to find ways to make explosive plays through the air.
Question this morning from Kevin Stone. Go ahead, Kev.
Hey, Coach, how you doing?
How you doing, Kev?
Good. So I actually just wanted to kind of touch on Brian Espinette a little bit more. I had the pleasure of covering him in high school, and that leadership quality that he has, you know, was very evident very early on. And you mentioned, you know, not necessarily playing such a big role yet this year, but off the field, what has he done leadership wise? Obviously, he's a captain for a reason. So just kind of what has he been like off the field for this team this year?
Sure. Yeah. And obviously our players vote on the captains, so that shows you right there where he stands in the locker room, what the guys think of him. I just think his mental makeup is just so different. He's unique in the sense of, you know, most guys out wide want the ball. They're going to kind of complain a little bit if they don't get it. He's talented enough to make plays still, you know, but we just felt like we had some younger guys that we had to get going, as I mentioned before. So for him, he hasn't complained once. He's embraced his new role. He's really playing 3 different positions now. He'll play outside. He'll play in the slot, plays like a hybrid tight end for us in some of our 10 personnel formations. I just think he's doing such a good job of coaching up everybody else when he's not in, leading by example that way. And I think he's taken a step in the right direction of being extremely vocal and calling out our offensive guys when we're not practicing the right way and those sort of things. So it's showing up on game day, you know, his ability to lead.
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
Rick, let's switch to the defense. You talked about the 5 sacks, the 9 tackles for loss, Dylan Ruiz with a couple more, and Josiah Silver, 3 tackles for a loss and a sack. And I know you were, we kind of joked last week that those guys have a friendly little competition about that going on, but how difficult does it make it for offensive lines when you got both of those guys coming at you?
Well, I think it's a credit to how hard those guys work, that they go at it every single day in practice, and you know, they prepare like champions. So I think it shows up on game day when you do the right things during the week. So I'm happy that, you know, they haven't kind of had, they've had some early success in their careers, but they haven't got complacent with it. And that can certainly happen, but I don't see it from those guys. They love football. They love working at it. I think they're a great 1-2 punch, and they give us the ability to not always have to pressure at times. You know, we feel like we should be able to, you know, get some pressure on the quarterback just rushing four, and it takes some pressure off the defensive backs, and we can do that and play some more coverage. You know, I thought another key component all day was our ability to kind of get off the field. You know, we were 2 for 12 on third down, 1 for 4 on fourth down as well. So 3 for 16 in critical downs in that game was huge.
When you think about Stony Brook over the years, you always think about that powerful running game, and you guys certainly did a great job shutting that down. But then they make the quarterback change in the second half, and they end up throwing it around. How much did that maybe catch you off guard, or how much did you have to adjust defensively when they did that?
I think it was a really good game plan by their staff. I mean, they're banged up. You know, talking to Coach Pure before the game, I think they were down at one point their top five scholarship running back. So I think they're reeling a little bit there injury wise. We know how talented that they have been in the past. So, you know, you feel for Chuck and those guys. I think he was kind of forced to do that, and I think it was the right thing to do. Caught us off guard a little bit. You know, they hit us with some chunk plays for sure in that second half. We kind of had a switch to a bend but don't break philosophy, and, you know, just rally to the football and tackle and just try to keep them out of the end zone if we could. And ultimately, you know, we're able to do that for the most part.
The question from Kevin. Go ahead, Kevin.
So I know, just want to touch on this weekend, obviously a huge game up in New Hampshire. And just in terms of recruiting, how big is this game when, you know, you guys are both maybe looking at a bunch of the same kids?
I mean, you would think that, but I think it, you know, when you have the Ivy League budget and some of those different things after working in that conference, you know, they recruit nationally. You know, I think they only have 5 kids from New England on their roster. So it is great though. I mean, it's obviously it's a battle, you know, for our home state. You know, we have a nice little granite block of stone that we play for that's in the shape of our lovely state. So yeah, I mean, we got to get after them, and they embarrassed us last year, to be honest with you. They came up here and put it on us and ran the football downhill. They were extreme. They were the more physical unit. They played harder. They flat out wanted it more. So we definitely, you know, we're ready and eager to go to get back at them.
Thank you.
Rick, talk about Dartmouth a little bit, just as a team, obviously not a team that we see as much among the CAA. As you started to look at them, what are some of the challenges on offense and defense that they present?
Well, I think, you know, they have a two-headed monster at quarterback. Try to see if Nick Howard is going to be back. I know he got banged up a little bit. When he is healthy, they have two distinct offenses. You know, he's more the running guy. He's very capable with his arm, but just by design, they like to run him a little more. And then Dylan Caldweller has been the other guy who can, he's a true prototypical spread guy, can run zone read, can throw it all over. I think they do a phenomenal job with shifts and motions to create leverage and mismatches for us. So we got to be cognizant of that, have to have great communication, discipline eyes, you know, this week on the defensive side of the ball. And that conversely, their defensive unit does such a good job of bending but don't breaking. They force you to go the distance, to be extremely efficient, to check the ball down. They're going to play a lot of zone coverages, getting a ton of depth, playing over the top of deep routes. So, you know, it's a game plan where Max Brosmer has to be extremely efficient of knowing how to get through his progressions, kind of where some of the underneath stuff's going to be. And then, you know, we got to find a way to establish a ground game, you know, early in that so we can kind of protect him as well.
Well, I'll let you go. I just you obviously had a great crowd, over 13,000 there for homecoming. But the throwback uniforms, that was a pretty cool tribute. How did that come about, and did your players enjoy the new uniforms?
Yeah, we loved it. We originally, to be honest, Rob, we were going to do it opening day and do a kind of a ceremony for Coach Mack and a tribute to him. But true Sean Mack style, he didn't want to make it about himself. He said, absolutely not. We kind of shut that down the week of. So we kind of held it for homecoming. But it was neat. It's always good to pay homage to all the great players that came before us and ultimately built this program to where it is right now. So, you know, we talked about all week, this was a leave your legacy type of game and, you know, do it for all the people that allowed us to live out our dream right now.
All right, Rick, thanks so much as always for the time this morning, and good luck up at Dartmouth, and we'll talk again next week.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it.
Thank you.